Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing money in the bank, student loan forgiveness info, and the streaming password sharing clampdown begins.
Ooh. Man, we've got those stories. You said money in the bank. We're specifically talking about that stimmy money in the bank.
There's a lot of money in the bank.
You've won me over.
A lot of people.
I'm calling it stimmy money now. Even though it's still hard for me to get behind, I'm seeing more and more folks refer to it as stimmy money, and I'm okay with it.
That's like the first time I've ever been on top of a trend, so I'm going to pat myself on the back for that.
NFTs as well, right? Like you're kind of down with that. But yeah, this is our Friday Flight episode. This is where we cover a lot of the stories, a lot of the news that we came across this week. And specifically, we address how it's going to affect you and your money. And Joel, before we get to that, though, I wanted to quickly talk about the fact that we love online banks, right? I'm a huge fan of Ally. Actually, I've been with them for a number of years now. Online banks are great because typically no fees. They often pay the highest interest rate. But one of the biggest downsides with online banks, what are you supposed to do with cash that you happen to receive, you know, like from grandparents for birthdays, that kind of thing?
Under the mattress, right? That's where you put it?
So, I mean, literally up until now, we've been amassing some cash just from kind of odds and ends, different things we've sold where folks wanted to give us physical cash instead of, you know, doing the Cash App. But yeah, like birthday money for the kids, that kind of thing as well. And so finally, I'm like, okay, like we've got to do something with this money. I want to get it on the books. Like right now, it's just in the drawer. I want it on the books. But you also know that I closed my account with my local bank here, one of the big banks that we don't recommend, right? But that leaves
a long time ago.
Yeah. But that leaves the question: how are you supposed to get cash deposited into your bank? Some folks will recommend that you do like the prepaid debit card. That's no good because
a lot of fees associated with those.
Yes, exactly. Some banks allow you to do like the ATM deposit thing, like where the ATMs are linked with their banks as well. Ally doesn't offer that, and so the best answer that I've discovered is through a local credit union. You know, we've talked about how great credit unions are. Oftentimes you can get the best rate if you're looking for a loan, but they're also great as well because typically they're local, and so you can go in person, make that deposit, and then I can digitally, electronically transfer that money over to the accounts where, you know, we mostly keep the majority of our money. And so that is yet again another reason why we love local credit unions, because, you know, we love those bigger online banks as well that offer the good rates, but it's nice to have a local credit union on your side for sure.
Totally. And it is. That's like the biggest difficulty of doing most of your banking with an online bank is, what do you do when you have a lot of cash?
Yeah.
And sometimes you can just incorporate that into your budget and spend cash when you're going out, but then you're, you know, foregoing credit card rewards and stuff like that.
And for me, I just want to be able to account for it, because we talked about doing that because we're like, you know what? We can just roll that into our groceries and then reduce our grocery budget for the month by that same amount. But I like to track all of our expenses at the end of the year. And, you know, literally I total up every single
digital recording of it.
Yes. Yeah. And then I'm like, well, that's going to ruin my records. And then, and then 20 years from now, when we look back at 2021, it's just going to mess up what it looks like we spent on groceries.
When you have your budget numbers back to what, like 2009 or something like that? So
2006.
Okay. Sorry for not giving you your full credit.
That's recognized, man. Respect.
My bad. But yeah, like you said, another good reason to have a relationship with a local credit union. And Matt, it's about time to get on to the Friday flight. But before we get to that, we had a book giveaway that we announced last Friday, and then we got some winners that we need to announce now.
That's right. Yeah, we appreciate everyone who left us a review, and thank you for emailing us to let us know that you have a review in, because that is your ticket to entry. And so here are our four winners. Den ZZ is one. Second was D McConnell 13. Mitchum 3604 was another, and then our fourth winner is RCCat 13. And so all four of you have emailed us, and we'll make sure to reach back out to you, get your mailing address, and we'll be sure to get those in the mail very soon.
Yeah, and let's hope USPS gets their act together and starts sending stuff a little faster.
Oh, yeah.
But as fast as we can, we'll get them in the mail to you.
Absolutely.
And then USPS, we'll hope they do the rest.
Yeah, and so thanks to everybody who entered as well. We'll make sure to, I like these giveaways, man. It's a fun way for us to connect with our listeners, as well as our listeners to dive in a little bit deeper into some of the books that our guests have written, some of the guests who have come on the show.
Yeah, there will be more of these in the future for sure.
Yes.
So thanks for playing.
Well, all right, let's go ahead and get to those stories, and let's start with the tax filing extension. The IRS has announced that they are going to extend the tax filing deadline from the classic April 15th to May 17th this year to give folks a little more time to get their act together, to give those accountants, those CPAs out there a little more time to get all their work done too. And this also applies to any taxes that may be due. Those payments also aren't going to be due until May 17th.
That's right. And this applies to federal tax returns, not your state taxes. Those might still be due just like they normally are. But we would recommend that you check with your state's Department of Taxation or Revenue to make sure on that. And this also doesn't apply if you have to make quarterly estimates either. Those are also still due on April 15th, but for most people, it's nice to know that you have an extra month to essentially file your federal taxes. And let's get to our next story, Matt. Stimmy money. All right, money in the bank. People have found that their stimulus money in large part has been deposited. A lot of people have received that money. Some people as early as last Friday, right?
Insane,
when the
right?
bill was signed on Thursday. It's incredible. So yeah, now people are probably wondering, well, what should we do with that money? And I'm going to suggest Gronk NFTs. Like you're buying a digital Gronk Super Bowl playing card is probably one of the best ways to go.
We talked about this last week, right? NFTs. If you are not sure what non-fungible tokens are, you can listen back to that last Friday's episode where we talked about that. And of course, we're joking. We would not recommend you to dive into NFTs unless it's just something that you want to do for fun. But like you said, Joel, a lot of folks have already received their stimulus money. And if you believe that you are eligible and you haven't received your stimulus money yet, you can head over to the Get My Payment tool on the IRS website to check the status of your payment. We'll make sure to link to that in our show notes.
Yep. And the IRS, by the way, was already short-staffed and in the middle of a really busy tax season. And then this bill gets passed and there's a whole lot more thrown onto their plate. Right? So it's important to note that if you've already filed your taxes and you're due a refund, but you haven't received it yet, it's important to be patient because the IRS, I promise, is working on it. You could try to call the IRS and figure out why your return has been delayed.
On the telly?
You could go old school and do that. I don't think they have a chat feature.
Telly is like really old school. I guess celly is like the most recent way to call somebody.
That's
call,
true.
Call me on the celly.
I can't tell you the last time I used a landline. But yeah, I would say don't bother calling the IRS because you could be on hold for a while. A lot of people are asking the same question and you probably won't get a great answer. Just know that the IRS has a lot on its plate trying to distribute the stimulus money and getting refunds out the door in the midst of COVID times. And so hopefully your tax refund also gets put in your bank account soon.
That's true. Yeah. So let's talk, though, more about what you should actually do if you receive some of that stimmy money from this latest piece of legislation. And the answer is that, honestly, it depends, right? And we know that's not a great answer, but it really does depend on your specific financial situation. If you are one of the folks that have been majorly hurt by COVID, maybe, you know, just from a business standpoint, maybe from a personal finance standpoint, like it's best to keep this money on hand in your savings account. Definitely don't spend it just on a spur of the moment kind of vacation, spontaneous vacation, or like a NFT of an Elon Musk tweet. Even doing something smarter with your money, like paying down debt, could be ill-advised unless that debt is carrying a higher interest rate, like credit card debt specifically. So we would point folks to check out our Money Gears episode. That's episode number 302, if you haven't yet, so that you can just essentially develop more of a game plan for how to proceed with your money, because we feel that it's important to go in a specific order with your money, and it all depends on where you currently are on your journey.
Yeah, and Matt, there are, of course, some Americans who are making good money that were still eligible for stimulus funds, right? And so they're getting money that they don't necessarily need. For some people, these were funds that they needed to get by. And then for a lot of other people, not so much. And so if you are one of the fortunate Americans that hasn't been negatively affected, or in some cases you did even better financially in the past year, you should also look to that Money Gears episode to see where you're at and how you should proceed with the extra money that's hitting your account. And in all likelihood, you should be investing more with the additional dough that you've got on hand now. And also too, don't neglect to use some of this money in your community at the small businesses and restaurants that you love. Many of those businesses are still on the rebound, and you know your stimulus money could really help them in this recovery. It's also too worth considering giving away a chunk of this money to nonprofits that you love, because you know many of those have been adversely affected and have been struggling because of COVID too.
That's right. Yeah. So, do you have any plans for your stimulus money?
Yeah, man, I think I'm going to use some of it to invest, some of it to give away, and some of it to spend locally. I mean, really, it's going to be kind of a trifecta approach with those three things.
Yeah, we're definitely going to be giving away a pretty large chunk of that stimulus money. But also, man, so on Monday, we talked with Sean, and he mentioned like that his craft beer equivalent was travel, but like specifically to Hawaii. And that like really kind of got me thinking about saving up for a bit for a trip. Kate and I, we've got a big anniversary coming up next year, and we've never gone on a trip like that. We've never flown. No, have we flown somewhere to go to the beach? I guess on our honeymoon, but like that was a long, long time ago.
Since then, it's only been driving to Florida.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the thing. This isn't even a trip that's going to be this year. This is something that we're even considering maybe for next year, which sounds kind of crazy. But like that's the best way to slowly start saving up for a big financial goal, right? Like when you have time on your side, you just start chipping away at it slowly. But who knows? You know, we've never done anything like that before, but it's definitely something we're considering off in the future a little bit.
I might have to sneak into your luggage for that trip.
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure if Kate would appreciate you being a third wheel on on that trip.
I promise not to bother you guys. All right, let's mention something else, Matt, that made its way into the relief bill that we didn't actually cover last week on the show. And that's the fact that taxes are going to be waived on student loans that are forgiven in the next 5 years.
Yes.
So this is big news if you're one of those people who is on track to have your student loans forgiven before January 2026. Before the bill passed, if you had hit the eligibility mark for student loan forgiveness and had the rest of your debt discharged, you'd owe taxes on the forgiven amount. And that can be a bit of a shock to folks who weren't planning on that, like who didn't realize that was the case, right? But because of this bill, through January of 2026, folks who have their student loan debt forgiven won't owe tax on the forgiven balance. And that's just another bright spot for folks who are headed towards forgiveness in the upcoming years. The lack of student loan payments over this time for everyone, but people in particular who are headed towards PSLF has been a boon. And then this on top of that is just really, really big news for people that are in that camp.
That's right, man. And we know we were just talking about giving money away. We're talking about charity. Let's mention this heartwarming story we saw this week as well. There's a small company in Atlanta that is doing landlording a little bit differently. The Wall Street Journal ran a fantastic profile of Promise Homes, and they are acquiring rental properties with the hopes of spurring tenants on towards home ownership. They provide credit as well as financial counseling free of charge to push them in that direction. And this is actually a for-profit company, but they work closely with the nonprofit Operation Hope that was specifically founded to reduce the racial wealth gap. So we thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, Matt, there have been so many stories about Wall Street landlords, you know, these giant corporations getting into the rental game, and the way they treat tenants is pretty awful in most cases. The fees and then lack of compassion that they bring oftentimes into, you know, tenant problems are something that's tough to read about. And so, yeah, seeing that there is a company that's trying to do the exact opposite, that's trying to give tenants a leg up, was just encouraging. And I thought, yeah, heartwarming and inspiring.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, on the note of rental properties, let's give a quick update too on a story that we talked about a month ago. This one actually specifically has to do with where we live in Atlanta. Short-term rental sites on Airbnb were about to get shut down cold by the city of Atlanta. There was talk about literally banning short-term rentals altogether. Fortunately, that didn't happen though. The Atlanta City Council just passed short-term rental regulations that allow folks to keep renting a room or a home for 30 days or less. But the city of Atlanta is also going to take their cut. If you partake in short-term rentals, you'll need to get a $150 license and start collecting hotel tax from folks that stay in your place. Airbnb might automatically tax your guests. It depends on where you live. We'll put a link to Airbnb's website where they actually detail whether or not they collect those taxes on your behalf. But based on some of the headlines that we initially saw around this, Matt, this is actually good news, I think, because I know there were some people, you know, quaking in their boots a little bit that Airbnb, yeah, like their side income was going to get shut down by the city.
Yeah, I mean, not only side income, but for a lot of folks, I mean, it has morphed into their primary means of doing business.
True.
So that's definitely some good news for those folks here in Atlanta. But yeah, it's definitely something to be aware of, regardless of where you live. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. Then after that, we're going to get to some news regarding refinancing your mortgage. We got some streaming news, as well as our ludicrous headline of the week. All of that right after this.
All right, we're back, and now it's time for our ludicrous headline of the week. This one comes from the Washington Post, and the headline read, "Want to borrow that ebook from the library? Sorry, Amazon won't let you. And Matt, this one bummed me out because there have been some stories recently about Amazon's business tactics, and they aren't all that friendly. But this one in particular for me was frustrating to read about because Amazon is refusing to sell ebooks and audiobooks that it's published, where it's been the actual publisher, to libraries. And I felt like that was super not cool.
Yeah, dude, that's a huge bummer because, I mean, our family, we use like the Libby app, which is typically an app that is linked with your local library. It allows you to access ebooks and audiobooks. I mean, our girls have listened through all of the Wizard of Oz books. There's like 15 of them. Like, I think it's something like 40 hours, 40 hours of audiobook. I think they've listened through that like four different times now.
Oh my gosh.
It's insane. But the thing is, you're not going to find some more popular titles that Amazon publishes because, well, you know, Amazon doesn't think that libraries deserve these works. They're hanging on to those, not allowing libraries to get those works via something like Libby. Again, that's a huge bummer.
Yeah, I'm a huge audiobook fan myself. I listen to quite a few on the Libby app through my local library. And yeah, it stinks that you're not going to be able to find some of the most popular books that Amazon publishes on your library app. Instead, Amazon wants you to go to their website and pay them to be able to listen to that stuff. And Amazon usually doesn't have a problem selling physical books to libraries. It's curious that they're drawing the line here because, Matt, interestingly enough, libraries usually pay more for each audiobook and ebook that they purchase. You know, you might pay 10 bucks for an ebook, and Amazon gets paid 100 bucks by a library because the rights are different, right? So here's me hoping that Amazon is going to relent from this and start offering the titles that it publishes to local libraries again soon. I feel like it's these kind of tactics that are going to quickly make Amazon unpopular with their customers. If they're shutting down access to libraries, being able to have the works that they publish, I could see a backlash maybe in the works if this kind of strategy continues.
Hashtag boycott Amazon.
or I don't know, maybe we can come up with something catchier than that.
Yeah, maybe not yet. We'll see. But dude, speaking of giant tech companies, the password sharing crackdown is coming. For years, most of the major streaming companies, like Netflix especially, have taken kind of a laissez-faire approach to sharing streaming passwords with friends and family members. I think that's a big reason why they started implementing like the different profiles, you know, like when you can log in and keep up with what you're watching. That way you're not being recommended to watch something based on maybe what your brother-in-law watched, right? But here's the thing. It doesn't look like that's going to be the case for much longer. The streamable reports that Netflix recently began implementing this password sharing clampdown on the accounts of some users. And so the next time you try to, like, maybe watch an episode of The Queen's Gambit, Joel, I know you're a big fan of Queen's Gambit.
I did like that show.
on your parents' account, Netflix might prompt you to pony up and maybe create your own account if you want to find out what happened with Beth and the Russians.
We're not going to give any spoilers.
No spoilers. You like that show? I feel like it was a little overrated, personally.
No, I really liked it, yeah. And I'm pretty sure I can convince you that it was great. But later. All right. But yeah. So if you have been saving a bit of money because you maybe pay for Netflix and a friend pays for Disney Plus and you guys split it, you might find your streaming bill actually going up pretty soon because you might have to pay for both if you want to keep watching stuff on each platform. And I understand why Netflix is doing this, right? And potentially other streaming services too. It makes sense that they want revenue from all the people that are actually using the platform, right? But as this password sharing crackdown potentially continues, it's important for us as individuals to be picky with the services that we subscribe to. Don't be afraid to cancel a streaming service or kind of maybe stop using it altogether if you are using someone else's account and you're prompted to create your own. Think about it for a minute before you just automatically say, all right, I guess I have to pay for it now. Maybe you can just eliminate it from your life altogether instead.
That's right. Let's talk about small businesses during the pandemic. Some new research from the nonprofit Main Street America finds that small businesses have weathered the COVID storm far better than they thought was going to actually happen. Data initially suggested that 7.5 million small businesses would likely close within 6 months of the COVID shutdowns, but that actually didn't happen. Less than 10% of the vulnerable businesses that were predicted to go away actually shuttered for good. And so, you know, I think some of the government programs that were launched, like the PPP loans, certainly contributed to that, contributed to them being able to stick around. And also, this isn't to say that small businesses are thriving right now, but this is great news for your favorite local spots, as we're on the verge of opening back up the economy in a very big way.
Yeah, it certainly hasn't been all rainbows and sunshine. A lot of small businesses have had a lot of obstacles to overcome just to stay open, right? And it's been a really, really difficult time. But on that note, Matt, while talking about small businesses, there was a great article in the Financial Times, and it turns out that many Americans have been starting new small businesses in the pandemic to the tunes of millions of small businesses. And it detailed how COVID entrepreneurs and lots of individuals have turned hobbies into a legit source of income over the past year. It feels like self-employment or starting a passion-based business is like having a moment in our culture right now. And interestingly enough, that kind of tends to be the case in recessions where people get laid off from a job or get furloughed and they kind of begin to invent their own job. They do something they're passionate about and start to make money from it. And Matt, one of our favorite local pizza joints, Glide Pizza, was just featured in the Wall Street Journal because the owner, Rob Birdsong, started Glide, and he worked in marketing but moved to making some of the best pizzas in town, and they are crushing it.
Yeah, man. He was not in the food industry, but now he is, and his pizzas are the best.
They're so good, dude. Like
They're kind of expensive, but they're so worth it, though.
So worth it. I was so surprised when I heard him talking about it that he was like, I mean, I just kind of liked pizza, and I bought an oven, and I started making it at home, and I was like, wait a second. This dude wasn't professionally pizza trained because the pizzas are that good.
Yeah, some of the best in Atlanta for sure.
Yeah, but he was one of those people who made the pivot in tough times, and his business has taken off because of it. So you might personally think that now is a terrible time for you to start that side hustle or pursue your small business dreams full time. But the opposite is likely true. It might be easier to start a small business now than it will be months from now.
Yeah, and we've seen this too, right? Like it's sort of a perfect storm between folks having, like they're spending less money, right? Because folks aren't able to kind of live the lives they're normally used to living. And so we've seen people's savings get bigger. We've seen credit card debt go down. But the combination of that, of the stimulus checks, and as well, like with interest rates lower too, folks want to do other stuff with their money. You know, they're not sticking the money in savings where they're getting a guaranteed rate. And so there is an increased incentive for folks to get out there and to pursue something that maybe they wouldn't have otherwise done. And time too. Like folks oftentimes are salvaging like hours from their day by not having to commute and get ready for
work. That's true,
yeah. So there's a lot of different reasons I think that folks are looking to start their own businesses. And Joel, you know, we mentioned about a month ago that rates will be on the rise, specifically mortgage rates. And that has certainly proved to be true. Refinances are way down right now as rates have started to tick up. But if you haven't yet refinanced and your rate is over 4%, we would recommend for you to crunch the numbers. You know, there's a good chance that you could save some real money every month over the life of the loan by jumping on a refi now before the rates continue to climb. And if you're in an ARM, an adjustable rate mortgage, then it might make even more sense to lock in a low rate because your variable rate might not stay low for much longer. And so we'll link to a couple of our favorite online lenders that are worth getting a quote from if you are in that position. But again, like we mentioned at the top of the episode, make sure that you're looking at a local credit union as well. And the other thing too we wanted to mention, just because rates are starting to tick up a little bit, they're still at historic lows. Like if you look back, to the 1970s, we are still at all-time lows. If you ignore the past 6 months, like the past 6 months, they've been the lowest, right? Like at the end of the year, like December, crazy low. But just pretend that didn't exist and look back, you know, over the last like 40 years, whatever, we are at the absolute bottom. And so, yeah, I guess I don't want to discourage folks from thinking, oh, we missed our chance. You know, it's still a great time.
Yeah, the getting's still good when it comes to refinancing, but you also don't want to be too apathetic and keep putting it off because now is a great time, right?
Yeah.
And so too, if you decide to do a refinance, we wanted to caution you against pulling too much cash out of your home. There have been some stats flowing around that show that a lot of Americans are taking money. They're doing cash out refis. They're super hot right now. But doing a cash out refi could hurt you if you don't have a plan for what you want to do with the money that you're grabbing from your home's value. If the extra money isn't going to go to good use, then you shouldn't be doing it. You should just be doing a straight up refinance. And specifically, cash out refi money is best used for paying off high interest rate debt or for doing home renovations. Even then though, handle with care because there are big costs associated with a cash out refi and you're often extending your loan term. And the same time too, you're putting your home at risk if you can't pay the mortgage. So there are some potential downsides to doing a cash out refi. I think people are seeing cheap rates, Matt, and they're like, let me just like get some money out at the same time. And it's not that can't be a good move in some circumstances, but I think too many people are tempted to take money out of their home right now when they should probably like leave it alone.
Yeah, and Julie, you know, a second ago I mentioned how rates were at their absolute best at the end of the year. And I know that because we are currently refinancing now, and I'm kicking myself a little bit for not having snagged the absolute lowest rate. But for us, it still makes sense for us to go ahead and go through with a refi. Our rate is pretty good, but it's not as good as it could be. We're planning to be here for a long, long time. And so this is something that we're actually doing. This isn't something that we're just talking about. We are living it, man.
Yeah, taking advantage of that. And now's a great time to make it happen, dude.
Absolutely.
So, all right, well, that's going to do it for this episode. For folks that want the show notes for this episode and links to some of the stuff that we talked about, you can find all that up on our website at howtomoney.com.
That's right. So that's going to be it for this episode. We hope everyone has a great weekend, and we will see you back here on Monday. We've got a great listener questions episode lined up for you. So Joel, until next time,
best friends out.
Best friends out.